he had done. He was guilty, everyone could see. But his destiny was changed as he looked at Christ and said, "When your kingdom comes, remember me." In paradise that day he stood, just like the Lord had said he would, surrounded by those who had gone before. One said, "Friend, how do you come? What are the deeds you have done?" With tears in his eyes, I can hear him reply, "There are no merits to my name, no good works that I could claim. He who brought me here told me to say, I have come by the way of the cross. I have come by the way of the cross. It is nothing I have done, it's the suffering of God's Son. I have come by the way of the cross. I had nothing to claim but my guilt and my shame. Hopelessly lost, I could not find my way. Till his glorious light of love shone down on me. His mercy washed all my sin away. And what he did for me that day was a price I know he paid. By his grace, I too can say, I have come by the way of the cross. I have come by the way of the cross. It is nothing I have done, it's the suffering of God's Son. I have come by the way. I see millions gathered round the throne from every kindred and tongue, those redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. As they cast their crown down at his feet, this will be their story.
This will be their song.
We have come by the way of the cross. Nothing I have done, it's the suffering of God's Son. We have come by the way, come by the way.
Praise the Lord. Amen. That is it. Amen. If you make it, it's because of the cross. That's it. No other way. Amen. Well, it has been good to be with you today. I sure enjoy the opportunities I get to come to be with you all here at Faith. And been the last number of years, been at least once a year here. And it's always good to be back, and a lot of familiar faces and new faces too, and that's always good in a church. Amen. Always good to see a church growing, seeing new people coming, and praise the Lord for that. Thank you for your kindness to us. We appreciate that. And again, good to have my wife. I'm going to ask you if you would, she'll shoot me afterwards, but if you'd pray for her, I'd appreciate it. She had just coming off of double pneumonia, and that's why I didn't know if she was going to be able to come, but she did get to come, so pray for her if you would. I appreciate that. Well, all right. I'm going to, it's a little different not having Brother Angel right here and preaching tonight. And he said, are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm okay. I said, I hope I don't mess everything up while you're up there or whatever. But anyway, I want to read a couple things to you here before we get started. Maybe get you laughing before I get you crying. Amen. Let me see here. This is what somebody gave this to me the other day. It says, a Sunday school teacher asked her little children as they were on their way to church service, why is it necessary to be quiet in church? One bright little girl replied, because people are sleeping. There's too much truth to that one. Amen. This one my children relate with. One Sunday, a young boy was acting up during the morning service. When his father picked the boy up and sternly walked him up the aisle to leave, the little boy screamed out, pray for me, pray for me. My boys have been there before, amen. And this one here, this is somebody in this crowd. Somebody will start pointing when I say this, okay? A little boy was overheard praying, Lord, if you can't make me a better boy, don't worry about it. I'm having a real good time the way I am. Where's the fingers? Yeah. How about this? Somebody gave me this. This is kind of cute. First grade teacher presented her students, this is first graders, the first half of a well-known proverb and asked them to come up with the remainder of the proverb. All right? It's hard to believe what they came up with. But how about this? Okay, you finish it. I'll say it, you finish it, and then I'll tell you what they said. Strike while the bug is close. How about this one? It's always darkest before daylight savings time. First graders came up with these. Pretty good. How about this one? Never underestimate the power of termites. Amen. How about this one? Don't bite the hand that looks dirty. The first graders amaze you. Amen. You can't teach an old dog new math. How about this one? If you lie down with the dogs, you'll stink in the morning. Here's a little. This is probably a young girl. I'm sure said this. Happy the bride who gets all the presents. And here's a wise little boy. A penny saved? It's not much. Some of you children will like this one here. Children should be seen and not spanked or grounded. If at first you don't succeed, get new batteries. An idle mind, it's the best way to relax. All these kids, I tell you. And the last one, I probably shouldn't do it, but I'm going to. A bird in the hand, it will do something in your hand. First graders, can you believe it? First graders, amen. Grab your Bible, if you would, and turn to the book of John, chapter number 6. I told preacher I'd prayed much leading up to coming, and the Lord had given me a thought I've been meditating on for a long time, and I just finished this on Friday. I really believe the Lord would have me to present it this evening. And this is sometimes, as an evangelist, I get thoughts and I just meditate on it and jot notes down and then try to put it together and never seem to come together, some of them, and sometimes it takes a while. And it's kind of that way with this message here, where the Lord really put it all together. But I want to try to help you with something tonight that I believe is an issue that every one of us struggle with. I want to jump right into it here and begin to read. We're going to read a lengthy passage here, so stay with me. There's a statement that's made in this by Christ, And I want to draw out and try to expound on that statement a little bit. Now, this is when Jesus has the disciples, not just His hand-picked disciples. I'm talking about the disciples, the multitudes of people that are following Him, the thousands of people that are following after them. And He's trying to teach them here in this passage. And so let's see here. It's an awful lengthy passage. Let me try to break it down just a little bit more. Let's go to begin in verse number 47. Let's pick it up in verse number 47. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. The bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." You're saying, what in the world is the Lord saying? The Lord is trying to convey the truth of the matter of that when we receive Him, accept Him, He becomes a part of us. Amen. That is what happens at salvation. We talked a little bit about this morning. The Spirit of God comes to live and indwell within us. And He wants us to be like Him. He wants us to take Him and to allow Him to live through us. He goes on to say, "As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this saying, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Notice verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Now, interesting passage of Scripture. These disciples, these followers, multitudes, thousands of people that are supposedly, by the way, the word disciple here means just a follower, someone who follows after. That's what they were doing here. Many of them, as he said, were not even believers, but they were following after him. But many of those, it says, that were following after him, the end result was that they went back and walked no more with him. Excuse me. I believe that this goes back to what statement was made back in verse number 61. Look back there, if you would, when he says at the end of the verse, the question, doth this offend you? I want to preach tonight on what I believe is the reason why most Christians quit on God. The reason why most Christians will quit on the Lord. And I've already given it to you. It's because of being offended. So many times, I'm going to have to get my water here. So many times in this Christian life, things happen and we get offended. There are people that are not in church here tonight because somewhere along the way they got offended because of something. And they walk away and they quit. I mean, I've seen people, many people that I considered better Christians than me. They're not even in church anymore. Why? I believe it goes back to this right here. What? We get offended. From what Jesus told us here, I believe it's clear to see that his followers or disciples quit on him because they got offended over something. He said, does this offend you? I mean, we're talking about, these are guys, that people that maybe some of them not even to the point of trusting him, maybe some that had, but yet what he was trying to teach them that, listen, this is what the Christian life is really all about. Man, you take me, you trust me, I become a part of you, and you become in me, and this life is a life that you're not going to live on your own, but I'm going to help you through it. Amen. They said, I don't know if we want that or not. And the truth of the matter is, but Luke, there's some Christians that are like, wait, today. What do you mean? You're saved, born again, but you don't know if you really want to get that far in. I don't know if I really want that. But I want to try to help you a little bit tonight in this simple little thought here. Most Christians who are out of the race today is because they've gotten offended and they've walked away. So I want to preach just a simple little thought here on why most Christians quit on God. And I'm going to give you about five different things that we see in the Scriptures here about being offended, things that we get offended over that will cause us to walk away. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for the privilege to be here tonight, and I do pray that you would help us tonight. Lord, I do love these people and the Lord in you, Father. And Lord, I thank you for the privilege to be here. And Lord, we've been friends, many of us, for years here, Lord. And Lord, I want to be faithful to you, and I want to try to help your people tonight. And I have no idea if there's any problems in this church. Your pastor, your shepherd over this flock would never say anything to me. But Lord, I do pray that you would help us tonight to take the truth of your word and tuck it in our heart so that when the times come, that we come upon situations where we just might get offended, that we don't quit on you and don't walk away. Lord, please help us tonight. I'll be careful to give you the glory for what you accomplish, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. The word to offend, if you look it up in the Webster's 1828, it gives many different definitions to it. But the ones that correspond with the, if you look up in your Strong's also, the ones that correspond together is simply these words. To offend means to bring displeasure or anger to. And it also says to trip up or cause to stumble. These are the things that happen when a person gets offended. Let me ask you the question, what are the things that displease us the most or that cause us to get upset the most, that cause us to be tripped up or to stumble? Jesus addresses three of those situations about being offended. And then there's another one by the Apostle Paul that I want to show you. So if you would, grab your Bible, and first we'll look at Matthew chapter 11. This is really a Bible study. It's not so much a bombastic preaching thing. It's just to try to help us along a little bit to be better prepared for the things that come into our life. Listen, the Bible tells us, I'm getting ahead of myself, but the Bible tells us that offenses are going to come. Amen. They're going to happen. That's part of life. We just might as well accept that right now and take it. No matter if you're trying to live for God or you're not trying to live for God, you're going to get offended. Amen. But notice what it says here, and we already read in the passage in John, but look in Matthew chapter 11, if you would, beginning in verse number 1. Notice what it says here. It says, and it came to pass, when Jesus made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again these things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor, the gospel is preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. The first offense that he approaches in the Scriptures and the Gospels is that we get offended because of him. Now, if I ask you the question tonight, have you ever been offended because of Jesus Christ? There's nobody going to say, yeah, I've been through that before. But the truth of the matter is, there's times in our life where we do get offended because of Christ. You say, what do you mean by that? if you are going to try to live the Christian life and do the things that are right, there are times where it's in opposition to everything that's around about you. And there are times that you're going to maybe have some displeasure because of Christ. Don't look all pious with me right now. We go through this. This is what we battle with. You know, the Scriptures tell me that I'm supposed to do this and do that and do the other, and I shouldn't do this and shouldn't do that and shouldn't do the other. And sometimes that displeases us that, you know, to be a Christian, to live like Christ, it's going to bring some offenses my way. Amen. Sure is. But understand and realize that He was offended greatly and hung on the cross for you and I, so that we could be saved, so that we could have a Holy Spirit, so that we could live for Him. Amen. You know, over in look in Matthew chapter 13, it brought up in another way here, Matthew chapter 13. And look at verse number 53. It says, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, He departed thence, and when He was come into His own country, He taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, that they were astonished and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joses and Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things?" And they were offended in Him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house." Why do you think Jesus said that? Because He knew that you're going to face the same things. If you're going to stand in Christ, even in your own family, you're going to have to, at times, come to a place where there's an offense brought because of Christ. But where are you going to stand? Are you going to stand with Him, or are you going to stand against Him? Are you going to be so displeased that you're a Christian and that your church has taught you and preached to you the truth, and then your family throws in your face something about it, and are you going to backtrack because you get offended because of Christ? Or are you going to stand on what's right? He says a prophet not without honor in his own country. That's going to happen. What are you saying? Offenses are going to come. What are we going to do with those offenses that come? How are we going to handle those things? I mean, are we at that place in our life? I wonder how many times that we have been in that position where we've been around somebody and the name of Christ has been blasphemed and we don't speak out. You know, that's a time when we've been offended because of Christ. We've been displeased. We don't want to speak out. We don't want to say, "Don't say that," or "Don't." Amen. Where are we at in this thing about being offended? Oh, to take a stand for the Lord. Matthew 26, look at this one. What did the Lord say here? Matthew chapter 26. Again, this is all being offended because of Christ. Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 30, notice what it says here. "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out in the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad." That's hard to believe, isn't it? That group of 11 disciples at this time, one of them's already walked away, of 11 disciples at this time, they're standing with Him. He says, "Every one of you are going to get offended because of me." And then, of course, Peter stands up. Notice what it says. And in verse 32, he says, "But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Peter said unto him, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Likewise also said all his disciples. He said, "You know what's going to happen tonight? Y'all are going to get offended because of me. And you're going to walk away. You're going to deny me." They said, "Oh," Peter jumped off, "I'll never do that." I wonder how many times that's happened in your life and mine. That we've been offended because of Christ and not stood on the right side that we should stand on. Offenses, being offended. These things come into our life And many times, it's those things that will cause us to walk away. Amen. Let me take it just one further. I'll give you the second one. Turn over to Matthew chapter 13 again. Turn back there, Matthew chapter 13. And let's read this. And this just is a continuation, really, of what he said in this first thing here. Matthew chapter 13. And notice what it says in verse number 50. Excuse me. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by, he is offended. The second thing that the Lord talks about, not only being offended because of himself, but being offended because of the word of God. Boy, how many times has that happened in your life and mine? I mean, let's be transparent. I mean, the situation, we're talking about families. When you're around family. And your family begins to mock you or make fun of you. Oh, you really believe that? I mean, come on. Come on. You are so archaic. You believe that the King James is the only Bible? Come on. I mean, we get pounded with that. Oh, come on. You won't allow your children to watch this movie? I mean, this is the favorite show on television. Come on. You say, what does that have to do? That has everything to do with the Word of God. That's why we don't do that, because the Word of God tells us we're not supposed to have fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. Amen. That's why we do those things. But yet, we'll get offended because of what the Word says. We'll have some displeasure. Which side do we stand on when that happens? Listen, these things are crucial because these things will snowball, just like I was talking with the young people tonight, these things will snowball and cause us to end up quitting. You let yourself get offended because of Christ and the name of Christ and standing for Him. You let yourself get offended because of the Word, because of what the Word teaches. And you may end up quitting on God one day because of the offense, because of that which came. When is the last time that you were offended or displeased or tripped up because of the Word of God? That which you don't like in the Word of God, which has caused you to or brought displeasure to you. Well, isn't it interesting how we as Christians today love to pick and choose what we want to follow and obey in the Word of God? Well, you know, and we'll look at people, Brother Luke, we'll look at people and we'll say, well, you know what, they've got it. These people do that, but I don't think we have to do that. And we'll all compare ourselves, which the Scripture tells us we're not supposed to do with one another. We'll compare ourselves with one another, you know, and say, well, you know what, they're just, Mick, he's just a little carried away. A lot of the young people, I'm sure, are saying that to you, brother. He's just a little bit out there and carried away. We don't really have to do that. Wait a minute. What is our guideline? What is our guideline tonight? Is it really that book or not? I'm telling you, if we followed the truth of that word the way that we should, we'd be so much closer together than what we think we would be. I mean, we'd be more unified. We'd be going forward. I mean, we wouldn't have the issues and problems. We wouldn't have to worry so much about the offenses if we really truly believe that book. I love it where David said that he loved all the precepts of the Word of God. And turn over to Psalm 119 real quick. This isn't in my notes, but look at Psalm 119. I love this. This is such a powerful psalm. And let me see if I can find it here. Here it is. Psalm 119. Just look at, and we could look at a bunch of verses, but just look, if you would, at verse number 128. Therefore, in verse 127 says, therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Wow. How was it that David, the psalmist David, could be a man after God's own heart and so in love with the Lord and could that God would use him to pen those words in Psalm 119? Because he esteemed all his precepts concerning all things to be right, and he hated every false way. Is that the kind of life that we live tonight? Or are we the picker and chooser? You know, well, I'll follow this, but I don't believe that we have to follow that. I'm just I'm just saying we are getting so soft in where we stand in the book. We really are. I'm appalled by the things that we allow ourselves to do. I know the Lord is. I'm appalled by the things that Christians watch on television. I'm appalled by the things that we get ourselves involved in. We know what the Word of God says. We know that God is a holy God. But we start picking and choosing, and you know what happens? The offenses that are happening in our life are causing us to distance ourselves from the Lord. And if we're not careful, we'll end up quitting. I've seen it happen. I mean, good people, like I said, better people than me, better people that just were not careful, got offended over some things and got displeased about some things and distanced themselves a little bit. And now they're no longer even in church. Lord, help us today. Are we offended because of being a Christian? Are we offended that the one who died for us, are we offended because he wants to live in and through us? Are we offended because the Word of God says that we ought to dress a certain way and we ought to be careful about what we wear? And you say, what are you talking about, Brother Martin? Don't go there, you know, about that, you know, man not wearing what pertains to a woman pertains. Yeah, that's where we go to. There's a distinction. There's always been a distinction. For God's people. Always, 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 always. It blows my mind. You go anywhere. I was walking through the airport the other day. Man, big old signs about, you know, if you want to use a male bathroom, a men's bathroom, there's a sign of a man there wearing pants. And you go to the other one, and there's a sign there with a woman with a dress on. But yet, the people that seem to fight it the most are the people that know the truth. Why do we fight against wanting to become something that God doesn't want us to be? Amen. Well, why do we fight against the Lord when He says that we're supposed to be holy like He's holy? Amen. Hey, listen, that's really where it all goes down. That's what it's all about, really. Do we believe that He's a holy God? Do we believe His Word's true? Do we believe that He says that we are supposed to be holy like He's holy? Do we believe that or not? That should dictate everything we do. Is it holy for me to do this? Would I be honoring God by doing this? That's what we ought to be asking ourselves whenever we do anything we do. But if we don't, then what we're proving is we got some offenses to some things. We don't want to say that, but we do. And if we're not careful, it'll take us out of the race. Amen. Let me give you a third one. Now, the third one I want to show you is the one that Apostle Paul speaks about here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Notice what it says here. And I don't think I'm going to be real long tonight. I told your preacher, you never know what's going to happen, but... Notice what it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. There's the Apostle Paul. I said the first two that the Lord spoke about is being offended because of him, because of being a Christian, or because of the stand that we take for Christ. Secondly, because of the Word of God, because of the things that the Word of God says, and because that we can't handle the things that the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God, or we get offended because of it. Thirdly, beginning in verse number 18, Apostle Paul is telling the church at Corinth some things here about his life and what he's been through. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproaches, though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I'm more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck.
A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Now notice what he says. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, and knoweth that I lie not. What was he saying here? Here's what he was saying. You know what? There's a whole lot of people that have offended me. There's a whole lot of things that have happened in life that have been against me, that have displeased me, that I've been offended by those things. But I'm not walking away and I'm not quitting. Amen. The third thing that causes us to get offended and walk away is other people. Things that people do to us. Situations that happen in our life. This might be the greatest one for most Christians. Right here. I can't believe preacher didn't recognize me. I can't believe preacher didn't call on me. I can't believe preacher said that. It's amazing to me, Luke, that the amount of people that get upset over preferences. Give your preacher some leeway. he speaks a preference and then you take it and you run with that thing and you get upset and get offended and walk away from him. Oh, my word. What are you saying? We get so upset and get offended by people so easily. We'll get offended by somebody else in church. And rather than trying to make the thing right, or rather than just trying to take it upon ourselves and just let the thing go, we'll get so bitter and so offended that we'll end up skipping out of church, backing away from the Lord. And I see this happen more than anything else. Offended because of people. Offended because of situations. The things that go on, that people have done that have caused me harm or that have caused me grief. Apostle Paul said, man, listen to this list of things that have happened to me. I'm telling you, you don't think I've been offended? That's what he was saying. You don't think I've been offended? Come on. But the truth of the matter is, he's worthy. You know, this life isn't about me and you anyway. It's never been about you and I. It's always been about him. Amen. And when we lose sight of that, when we lose our focus that this life is for Him and all about Him, we're in trouble. Because then we do get to that place where we begin to think it's, you know, it matters how people treat me. It matters what this person said or that person said. Look, if you would, at John chapter 16. John chapter 16. This goes along with it too. He's talking to his 11 here now. Notice what he says. These things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. You know what he's telling them? People are going to treat you bad. People are going to, they're going to try to kill you. They're going to do these things to you. The people that kill you think they're doing me service and everything. You say, Brother Martin, it says these things. What are these things? He's talking about the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit living in them. Go back and read the chapter leading up to it. You know what he's saying? Hey, I've equipped you. You're going to be equipped to be able to go forward and to be able to accomplish. Don't worry about what happens in this life. Don't worry about the things in this life. Keep your eyes and your focus on me. Because if you don't, you're going to get offended. You're going to walk away. You're going to quit. You're going to give up. Amen? We've got to get our eyes back on Him. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I think it is. I don't have this in my notes either, but I know the Lord wants me to say this. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. The Apostle Paul again, notice what he says here. Verse number 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. You mean, get your eyes off. Don't focus on the injustices of life. Don't focus on the offenses that happen and people turning against you and causing you grief and causing you heartache. Keep your eyes focused on the one that can give you victory over all that and keep going forward for Him. Because if you don't, there's coming a day where you'll up and walk away. You'll end up quitting on God. Oh, I'd never do that, Brother Mick. I know where I'm at. Be careful. Be careful. You better keep your eyes on Him. If not, it's sure going to take you down. Look over, if you would, at Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18. Look at this verse. Proverbs chapter 18. In verse number 19. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. Their contentions are like the bars of a castle. How many of you, Brother Johnson, I'm sure you've probably been through this before. When somebody gets offended and goes away, and I know you've been around here a long time and with preacher and worked with him and all, and I'm sure that you've been with preacher and you've gone to somebody that's gotten offended and tried to encourage them to get back and get. That passage rings true. Somebody that gets offended and walks away, it's really hard to get them back again. I'm warning you. Be careful. Don't get offended. Because once you start down that path, it's so easy to just walk away and quit. Man, I can tell you about people. I've been with my preacher visiting people that have gotten upset about silly things. And they've ended up getting out of church. And you go to them and try to convince them to come back. I remember a Sunday school superintendent that we had, and he was a Sunday school teacher to fifth grade boys when we first went up to Grace, and he taught my son and everything, and they got offended. Him and his wife got offended over something, and they got out of church. And it was over some people and some things that were said, and something said by somebody in leadership too. And those things happen. Amen. Just face it. It happens. We're all flesh. But they got offended. We went and we tried to, and they didn't even want to talk with preacher. And then we went back again and tried to visit them, tried to encourage them to come back. And you know what? We know we should. They weren't going to church anywhere. This was a Sunday school superintendent. You know what happened the next time I went there? There was a fifth of liquor on the table. This man that was a Sunday school superintendent and taught the boys and taught. Where in the world did that come from? It's because he got offended. And he walked away. And a brother offended is harder to be won. I mean, it's almost impossible to get him back again. You say, I'd never get there. Don't you fool yourself. You let yourself get offended because of something that somebody says or does, you're in trouble. And let me just warn you too. Let me warn all of us here. Look at James chapter 3, and you know where I'm going. James chapter 3. Boy, we better be careful the things that we say and what we do. James chapter 3, verse number 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths and that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and serpents and things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed to mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. What's he saying here? Hey, be careful what you say. Not only do we need to be careful that we don't get offended, but we need to be careful that we don't offend a brother or sister and say something that would cause somebody to slip and fall and walk away from God. Well, I just don't like what they... Well, just be quiet and keep it to yourself. Swallow it. Amen. Oh, how many offenses would be pacified if we just did that? If we just kept our mouths closed, been quiet. There's somebody... My wife knows what I'm going to say right now. There's somebody in our church. There was a lady whose daughter, she split home. It was the lady and her husband had been divorced, raised the daughter on her own and everything, and the daughter got in trouble. She messed up. She got pregnant when she was 18 or 19 years of age. She wanted to start coming back to church and getting things right. But as soon as she got coming back to church, some of the ladies of the church started talking and said some things that grievously hurt that young girl. Yes, she made a mistake. Have not you and I? But people started talking, and that young lady left and has never darkened the door of a church again. That's probably been 3-4 years ago. She won't set foot in the church. Why? Brother offended. Sister offended. Be careful what you say. We don't have the right to condemn other people. You just take a look at yourself in the mirror and you think about who you are and where you're at. We don't have a right to say anything to anybody. Don't you offend one another, cause each other to stumble and get tripped up and have to walk away. Amen. Many other things. I like this passage here. Look in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Notice what it says here. Boy, the Lord loves little children. Amen. Matthew 18, verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter in the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. Notice verse 6. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Whoa. Jesus said that. I don't think that's politically correct, is it? What was he saying? You better be careful what you say. Not just to one another, but to these little children too. Ouch. Parents, we better be careful what we say to little children. We better be careful how we treat them. Amen. We better be careful about... Oh, they're just bus kids. Ooh, better be careful about that. You know, them little bus kids, they're coming in and they're dirtying up every man. We got to put in so much time and so much. I don't think the Lord's happy when we start saying stuff like that. And if they would hear that, them people at that church don't care about us. They don't want us back there. Ooh, be careful, be careful. We don't want God to be upset at us over offending His little ones. Amen. You have no idea what's going to happen with them little ones. Praise God for the bus ministry. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we could turn to many other places. Let me have you look back again at Matthew chapter 26, and I'll give you the last one here real quick. Matthew chapter 26. It's really a continuation of what we said earlier. Matthew chapter 26, and again, look at verse number 31, what we read this earlier, it said, Then said Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Now, I'm not going to read the next 10 verses, but you know what happens. They go into the garden. Jesus takes the inner circle with him a little bit further. Then he leaves them and goes a little bit further. And he tells them to watch and pray with him. And you know what happens? They fall asleep on him. Peter, James, and John. Their opportunity to watch the Lord go through this time and pray with him and watch with him. And they fall asleep on him. And then it says in verse number 47, while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave him a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? And then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them, which we know from the another gospel, is Peter, which were with Jesus, stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. And then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? In that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, Are ye come out as against a thief, or with swords, with staves, for to take me? I sat daily with you in the teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the Scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. This is the fourth thing, and this is probably the other one that hits us more than anything else. Not just being offended by people, but being offended because the will of God does not go the way that we think it should go. You say, what do you mean? They thought somehow that he was going to be able to make it through. Peter thought somehow he was going to save his life, and yet he would still be the Savior. It couldn't happen. It wasn't the will of God for that to happen. The will of God was for Jesus to go to the cross to shed his blood for you and I. It had to happen. It had to take place. When he stood up and said, wait a minute, put that away. Put Malchus's ear back on again. He turned to him and he said, listen, no, this is not what's going to happen. This is the way it's going to be. They turned and forsook him and walked away. Why? Because the will of God didn't go the way that they thought it should. How many times in our life have we gotten offended because things just didn't go the way we thought they ought to go? Sometimes things happen in situations and we question God. Why? How could you do that? I wouldn't doubt there's probably somebody in this room here that's lost a child. And I'm not trying to make light of that kind of situation. But you've lost a child. Or you've lost somebody, a spouse. Maybe at a young age, someone that's near and dear, and you just, God, why? And we get so upset with the Lord. We're so displeased that God would allow something like that to happen. Listen, we better be very careful. God is sovereign. And God allows things to happen in our life the way that He knows is best for us. How can it be best for me when my spouse is taken, when my child is taken? Well, how can these things be? That's all in God's hands. We've got to believe that He is God. He's on the throne. He's got it all worked out. We've got to keep our focus on Him, because if not, we start worrying about what's happening to me and why is this happening. We're going to get offended. We're going to walk away and we're going to end up quitting. Amen. Look back to Luke 22, the same passage, but look at Luke 22. Look what it says back here. Almost done. Luke 22. Notice what it says here. Verse number 31. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. You notice what he said to him? He called him by name twice. He said, I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. You know, it's not going to go the way that you think it ought to go, Peter. If you'd just trust me on this thing. What are you talking about, Lord? I'm fine. I'm okay with this. And then wham, he gets blindsided by something he didn't think was going to happen. And he turns around and walks away. I wonder what it is. Come on, let's just be honest. I wonder what it is or what it was when the last time that we got offended because God's will didn't go the way that we thought it should go. And we might still be offended. Matter of fact, there might be some people just hanging on a thread tonight. You're sitting here offended. You're upset over the way somebody's treated you, over the situations of life, over the will of God not going the way that you thought it ought to go, over trying to take a stand and live this Christian life in the wicked day and age we live in, and you're hanging on a thread right now. You say, Brother Martin, is there any hope to conquer offenses or being offended? Oh, dear child of God, the Lord never leaves us without hope. You know the verse. Psalm 119, verse 165. Amen. What does it say? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. But what about when something happens that a child, a spouse, what happens when somebody treats me, and nothing shall offend them? You know, the greatest problem that we have today as children of God is falling in love with that book that sits in our lap right now. That's the truth of what Jesus was trying to tell him. You know, you're offended because of the Word. You're offended because of me. You're offended because the will, my will didn't go the way you thought it should go. You get offended because of other people. But hey, if you just keep your eyes on me, if you fall in love with this book, guess what? There's nothing that's going to offend you. Amen. You'll realize that the great God of all eternity that loved you and that gave His Son to die for you is there for you through all those offenses that will come into your life. Amen. He wants to be your help. He wants to be your stay. The only way to overcome offenses, the only way to keep from getting offended, is to fall in love with this book. That's sad to say. I wonder what would happen, Luke, if the Lord brought a screen down and showed your Bible reading the last week. I wonder if you'd try to crawl under the chair. Like many of us would. I wonder if... listen, I'm not just talking about a devotion time. Everybody ought to have a devotion time. But I'm talking about falling in love with the Bible. That's what he said. If you fall in love with it, then you won't get offended. I wonder if the Lord brought the screen down and showed each and every one of our lives and our walk with Him and every one of us knew the fact about one another. I wonder if we wouldn't all be crawling underneath the pews. Because we say we love God. And we say we love His Word. We don't even spend time with Him. And then we get offended over the silliest things. We get offended because of some situation that just didn't go the way that we thought it ought to go. And we quit and walk away from God. I'm here to tell you tonight, the reason that most Christians quit on God is because they get offended. And if you're there tonight, and if you've been offended because of somebody, or because of some situation, or because the best thing you can do is get that book and come to this altar and say, Lord, help me to fall in love with You and Your Word. Help me to get back, fall in love with You and Your Word. God, may it be a part of everything that I am. That's what He was saying there in John chapter 6. Where we start. May it be a part of everything that I am. Lord, may You live through me. God, please help me to love You and Your Word. So that I won't get offended and walk away. God help us. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I want to ask you tonight to be honest with the Lord this evening. Truly honest with the Lord tonight. Who would say, Brother Martin, as you were preaching, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. There are some offenses in my life right now. I've been offended over some things. And I know I need to get back
in love with the Word of God. I know I need to get over those offenses. Would you pray for me tonight? You'd slip a hand up and say, that's me, Brother Martin. Pray for me tonight. I see those hands, many hands across the crowd. Can I help you? If the Lord did not speak to you about something and you're doing all right now, praise the Lord for that. But I'd encourage you to come to an altar tonight and just say, God, please keep me from getting offended. Oh, Lord, help me. Help me not to fall into that trap of Satan to get offended and to walk away. You may have something against somebody in this church. An offense, something that happened, and you're at odds with somebody. You ought to make it right. Amen. That's what the Lord would have you to do. You may be offended because of something that happened in your family. Whatever it is, make it right. Get right. Why? So that we can get where we need to be with the Lord. So we can go forward and accomplish what He wants us to. So we don't quit on Him. Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, I pray that You'd bless the altar time. Lord, I pray that You would help us to do business with You. You saw the hands across the crowd, all across the crowd, who raised their hands. And Lord, if we would be honest, probably the majority of us would raise our hand and say that we've had some tough times with the offenses that have come our way, with being offended. Lord, help us to be ever so careful. Lord, to not allow those things to take our focus off of You. God, get our focus back on You. Help us to fall more in love with Your Word every day. May it be a part of who we are. God, please help us. We'll be careful to give You the glory and the praise for what You accomplished. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Musician plays. God spoke to your heart. You raised your hand. You know who you are. You ought to be at an altar. Now, maybe you, like I said, the Lord didn't speak specifically about something in your life. Maybe you just need to come to the altar and say, oh God, please help me not to become one of those people. Help me not to be one of the offended that walk away, that quit, that never more to come back again. God, help us to be careful about offenses, being offended. Maybe there's somebody here tonight that say, Brother Martin, I'm not sure if I died tonight I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know that. Would you pray for me? You'd slip a hand up and say, pray for me, Brother Martin. I'm not sure if I died right now that I would go to heaven, but I'd sure like to know that. Anybody at all? You say, it's Sunday night service. I understand that. Lord works in mysterious ways at times.